It would be worth meditating a lot, I think, on this, what we call the presentation of Jesus in the temple. It's we've had it Sunday, then we've had it repeated now twice for us, that is the first half and the second half. As though to ponder that would be to open up some of the mystery of the incarnation. What are we really worshiping? Who is Jesus? We say very glibly, well, he's God made man. That one reality has fixated most of the mystics, sent them into ecstasy. To have that reality get a hold of your spirit and grasp it. And the way to have that happen is through the Word of God. As I've mentioned before, St. Thomas Aquinas points out that scriptures, in the scriptures, God teaches us immediately. And that means he impresses on our spirit the reality that the text is mediating to us. It's a very beautiful and mysterious process. But maybe one day we'll talk about it. But the process, or the description of the process, insofar as we are ever able to do that, is not as important as the process itself. And so to ponder Luke's account of the birth and the shepherds and Mary pondering, and then to ponder this event and beg the Lord, just read the scriptures over and over again until they start to break open. Sometimes it helps to just kneel down rather than sit and read it and say, Lord, this is so far beyond me, I have no idea what I'm reading, really. But out of honor for you and your incarnation and the gift of the scriptures, I kneel here and I read, just to honor you and this gift. For me, I've been in the business now 50-something years, it's a thrill to see this reality start to become alive again in the church. And this, when Pope Benedict writes up the result of the synod, he will be talking about this a lot. And one of the things he has already said, is, you know, only the scriptures can change the heart of man. Only the scriptures. Now, it's been a long time since we've heard people talk like that. But this was the foundation of the faith of the early church. So I leave you to, and this is what the rosary is for, right? You could take the whole lap around the rosary, all five decades, on just this text. That'd be okay. You don't have to do all five. You can do one five times. That'd be okay. Yeah. The point is, with Mary, and in union with her spirit, to be looking at and gazing at and be transformed by the realities. Who is this Anna? Who is she prophesying about? You see? Who's listening? What is she saying? You know? That sort of thing. I want to take a few minutes now to look at the first reading from the letter of John. I write to you, little children, that your sins have been forgiven because of his name. Now you notice we have the children, the fathers, and the young people, the young men. So I write to you, little children. Those are the new people, the new Christians. And I write to you, that, of course, it just so happens that in Greek the because and the that are the same word. So, which is wonderful. It's a big ambiguity, you know. I want to tell you that it's happened, but more than that, I'm writing to you, and you are little children, because, you see, your sins have been forgiven. Just try that one on the rosary. Your sins have been forgiven. Just think of that. We're all little children, no matter how long we've been trying to live the Christian life. You're children. You're innocent. You're newborn. By the blood of Jesus Christ. And then to see your sins in the light of that forgiveness, that's the gift of tears. The gift of tears isn't weeping because I'm such a bounder. I am. But that's not the... I'm not crying over how what bad shape I'm in. Because you see, repentance is not the same as embarrassment. I could be terribly embarrassed about my sins. Repentance is, I'm sorry. But that sorrow comes because our hearts are pierced with the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, who imprints on our spirit, I gladly died for you. I'd do it again right now if I had to. And to see our sins in that light. So he's writing, see, to tell you your sins are forgiven. Concentrate on that, and you will weep. And that weeping is a purification. According to Simeon, the new theologian, it's the best preparation for baptism in the Holy Spirit. The best. Okay. I write to you, fathers, that you have come to know the one from the beginning. And there, that's the Father. So maturity is to know the Father and to act like the Father. It's just awesome to think of that. And then, I write to you, young men, you young people, you have overcome the evil one. Just think about that. The evil one is a mighty spirit, an intelligence, you know, one zillionth of what his intelligence is, would outclass the whole human race. And you have overcome him by the power of the blood of Christ. He is not going to bother you. You have overcome him. He will not drag you to hell because of the blood of Christ. You have overcome the evil one. And now he says it again, all over again. This keeps commentators in a job, I guess. Now he puts it in the past tense. I got to go faster, these now. They're the same. I wrote to you before I write to you. Now, I wrote to you, children, not just little children, that you have come to know the Father. You see, what happens when your sins are forgiven? You know the Father. I want you to know you know the Father. Well, I don't know if I know the Father. I'm telling you, you do. The Spirit dwells in you. Just take a minute to talk to him. I wrote to you, fathers, that you have come to know the one from the beginning. And again, you see, because that maturity of knowing the Father. Oh, how precious. How precious. To know the Father, the one who's the source in the Trinity, even though they're all equal and all co-eternal. It gives such peace. There is not the slightest shadow of deceit in him anywhere. Your whole being can just relax. He is truthful. And I wrote to you, young people, young men, you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and that's how you've overcome the evil one. Let that word of God, grab it, hang on to it. For us, Bible reading is sort of a nice devotion. For John, and for the whole of the tradition, Bible reading is a delight and it's survival. You want to know, you want the force and liveliness and beauty of what God has done to be the source of all you do, go to the Scriptures. And when they start to impress, the Holy Spirit starts to impress upon your spirit the realities mediated by the text. Now, that doesn't say you don't read commentaries, you don't do all that stuff. You'd put guys like me out of business if you did that. But it's only a beginning. It's only a beginning. And so that's his message for today. We're going through the letter, you know, during this time until, we go on with it after, it's actually after New Year's. It's exciting, though. Just pick it up, read it, and just say, Lord, look, I'm no mystic, but I've just got to understand this thing. Just help me.